Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Wonderful. It's good to be opening the word this morning, church. Yeah. I just tip over that 35 and under bracket. I'm 36. Absolutely gutted. Oh, dear me. Well, I just want to thank everybody who has been asking how last weekend went for me. I wasn't sunning it up, for those who may think that. True story, I went on mission to Russia one time, and when I got back, my grandmother, my late grandmother-in-law, turned up and she said, "How on earth can you talk about Jesus for 2 weeks?" I said, "Quite easily." So for those of you who don't know, last week, myself and Rebecca were in Lytham St. Anne's, Blackpool to those who know it well, and we were preaching in a church called Hope Church. It's a small little church on the outskirts of Blackpool, but has got a real passion to see the kingdom of God come in. And we had a great time there, so thank you to everybody who was praying. And I bring greetings from them and thanks for releasing myself and Becky to that. This is the first opportunity I've had on stage to say thanks. But I just want to thank the church so much. For those of you who don't know, my wife, Rebecca, fell off a skateboard. And what ended up happening was she had to have her whole elbow reconstructed, where she had a bone transplant. It was quite major surgery. But I just want to honour our pastoral care team. They were phenomenal in care for us. Can we just give them a round of applause? Absolutely phenomenal. You know, Julie Dabrowski, you were wonderful. You bless myself and Becky so much. Julie came in and every Tuesday with Carol Dennis, and they cleaned our house from top to bottom because Rebecca couldn't tonight. I was working and I was trying my best, but I still was doing a really rubbish job. You know how it is, guys. You see, for us gents, what we think is clean isn't always clean to our wives. I'll admit that. But Julie did a phenomenal job with Carol, and I just want to honour those two together and just thank our prayer team. Julie came in and she not only cleaned the house, but she brought a word of God into our situation. So she listened to God and she blessed us with the word of the Lord. Amen. Today's message is born out of my holiday walks with Michael Wood. A few weeks back, we were on holiday in Selcombe in Devon together with the Wood family. And one of the things we love to do as families is we like to go for walks, and we go for coastal walks. But what happens is when you walk with another man of God or another woman of God, what comes out is you have good conversation about the Word of God. You have good conversation about life. You can talk. You can talk through what's going off in life. And can I encourage you? If you don't have that, then find somebody in church that you can do something with, that you can go and have a coffee with, go and have a walk. I've had many walks with Bill Stone as well, and we've had many conversations there. And, you know, God will bless you through that time when you walk. But my title this morning is Drawing from the Wells. And I just want to read these words from Isaiah 12, verse 3. It says, with joy, let me say that again, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. We should be getting more excited about that, church. Let me say that again. With joy, we will draw water from the wells of salvation. This morning, I want to talk to us about drawing from the wells, because I believe that there are wells of living water that are waiting to be unearthed in this church. You see, this church is a well. This church is a well. It's a place of drawing living water. But in this church, are his people. The church it's not the building, guys. It's not the building. This church is not the building, it's you. And in you is the capability to be a well. Yes? In you is the capability to be a well. What does the Bible say about wells? You see, it says a well is a source of life. It's a place of refreshment. It sustains us. It's a meeting place, a place to have an encounter. Wow. A place to have an encounter. A well will bring new life. Anybody need any of that this morning? Come on. I'm excited because I believe that God wants to speak to us this morning. You see, today God has placed you at his well. God has placed you at his well. You see, his word is his well. It's living water. When you understand what this book can do to your life, when you understand what the word of God can do in your life, you will have a revelation that will take you to a whole nother level. And God will draw living water out of it. You see, when you dig deeper into the word of the Lord, something of living water will pour out of you because you feed yourself with the power of God. You see, one of his wells, I've already said, is his church. You see, when you come to church, it's not just a Sunday morning. It's not just an encounter for a Sunday morning. When you come to his church, we are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ goes out from this place. And you receive from the well, but you go out to pour out the goodness of God. Amen? Today, God has placed you at his well. His Spirit, his Holy Spirit, is here to be poured out among you. His Holy Spirit is here to be received by you. You see, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, what we understand is this, that the Holy Spirit gives us power, it empowers us, but it empowers us to do everything that God has called us to be. Our main Bible reading this morning is from Genesis 26. So if you want to turn your Bibles to there, and I just want to draw some practical points out for us this morning from the story of Isaac. Now, I named my son Isaac because the very word Isaac means laughter. And he brings laughter to me and my family and to those around. He can sometimes bring tears as well. But today I want to talk about Isaac, not my Isaac. But Isaac in the Bible. You see, before we get into this word, we're going to be reading from verse 17. But famine has entered the land. And Isaac is reminded of the promise that God spoke to his father. Isaac is reminded that God said to Abraham, I will give you more descendants than the stars in the sky. He's remembering the promises of God. But famine has hit the land. And Abraham goes through a similar scenario earlier on in Genesis. But what we find is this, that Isaac is faced with the same decision. Now Abraham goes to Egypt, but Isaac has a choice. He has a choice to go to Egypt where his father was, or he goes to the Philistines, where God is directing them to. So Isaac chooses God's path, obviously, and he's directed to the king of the Philistines, Abimelech. And there, Isaac and the people of Israel plant and flourish. They do well because God's blessing is all over them. Isn't that marvelous? God's blessing is all over them. But you see, the king of the Philistines, Abimelech, he gets jealous. Yeah. Anybody experience that? Yeah. He gets jealous. And he comes to Isaac and he says, you have become more powerful than me. You have become more powerful than my people. And it's time for you to leave this land. So what we find, and this is where we land, is we find Isaac is about to leave. He's left the land where Abimelech is. And so we read from verse 17. It says, so Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gineer, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham. Remember that. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham. You see, some of you, you've got an inheritance.
Yes, you have.
You have got an inheritance where your father, your uncle, your mother, or somebody in your family has gone before you, and they have dug spiritual wells in your life. And this message is for you today. Because you see, the time is coming for you to redig those wells, to unearth some of those wells. Let me continue. It says, from the time of his father, which the Philistines stopped up after Abraham had died, and he gave them the same names as his father. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But herders from Gineer quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it, that one also. So he named it Sitna, and he moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. So he named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in that land. From there, he went to Beersheba. That night, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God. I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant, Abraham. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Amen. Woo. What a scripture. You see, what we need to remember is these verses are part of the wider story of the Israelites going to the promised land. These verses are part of the story of the Israelites entering the promised land, of them journeying into the promised land. But what we need to remember, Isaac has to leave a place of blessing as not to outstay his welcome. Jesus says these words in Matthew 10, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that hometown, shake off the dust off your feet and move on. You see, if you're no longer welcome in a place, it's time to move on. But I want to say this morning. If you are here at New Horizon Church, you are welcome. You are welcome. This is the voice of the Lord, and I, as one of the pastors, I really just want to emphasize that if you have entered into this building today, you are welcome. You are part of this church, you are part of this family, and God has got you in this place for a reason. You may have had to move a place because you haven't been welcome, but God has moved you to this place because you are welcome in this place. So we now find the Israelites and Isaac in the valley of Gineer, reopening the wells his father has dug. You know, we all want that mountain moment, don't we? We read our Bibles. If you've read your Bible, you know, we read about how people in the Bible have experienced God on the mountaintops. But I want to say this morning, the mountaintops are a moment experience. But it's in the valley. Come on, church. It's in the valley where God brings growth. It's in the valley where you receive blessing from God. It's in the valley where God shapes and molds you. It's in the valley where God builds. It's in the valley where God sees fruit come out and growth comes out from the valley. We're in Amber Valley, guys. Come on. I said it on our vision night. New Horizon Church, God has placed us in the valley because he wants us to grow. He wants us to flourish as a church. My first point this morning is this. God will use your trials to draw you closer to his hope and his promise. You see, each well that Isaac went to dig, he named for a reason. And the first trial he faced, he named it Esek, which means dispute, because he faced dispute. The second trial he faces, he named Sitna, which means opposition. We're going to look at that a little bit more in detail a little bit later. But you see, just as Isaac and the people of Israel found themselves facing trials, each trial got them closer to God and the promise that God had for them. James, I don't suppose you can just... I brought a little prop. It's not my spade, it's my father-in-law's because I've lost mine. I think I brought it down to the building when we were doing the building work. And I think I've lost half my tools since doing this building. So I phoned my father-in-law in a bit of a panic and says, can I borrow one of your spades? So if you've ever dug a hole, if you've ever broken ground before, yeah, what's the thing you face? I hit stones, I hit obstacles, I hit clay, I hit tough ground. Now, I've never seen anybody dig like my father-in-law and my brother-in-law because they're like powerhouses. They're like, boof, boof. So if you ever want a hole digging, call on my father-in-law, Phil. He's your man. But I'm telling you, you've got to watch him dig. Because he's focused. You see, when he hits an obstacle, he's at it. He keeps digging at it. Because he wants to get to the goal. Sorry, Michael, I'm just going to lean that up there for a second. He wants us to get to the goal. You see, our trials give us hope for his promises. Today you may have walked into church facing trials and hardship, but God wants you to know this, that if you are following him and his will and his purpose, you can have hope this morning. Yes? You can have hope this morning that God is taking you on a journey to seeing his promises over your life fulfilled. And as a church, we have that hope. You see, when we face trials as a church, we keep digging. Yeah, right. Psalm 23, verse 4 says this, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Strange words. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear about a rod and a staff, it takes me back to when I'm getting a smack. And that gives me fear. But you know, when God talks about a rod and a staff, he's talking about a shepherd's staff and a shepherd's rod. You see, because when we face trials, God is trying to direct us. He's trying to guide us in the right path. But God never leaves us. You see, when we're digging and we hit rocks, God's saying, keep going. Keep going, keep digging. You may be facing the trials, but God is saying, keep digging. Keep getting past the trials. I'm much bigger than the trials. Whatever the devil's going to throw at you, yeah? God is much bigger than that. He's much bigger than that. You see, how we react to conflict directs our outcome of the blessing. See, Isaac faced conflict. You will face conflict in your life. You will face trials. But how we react to that conflict will direct our blessing. You see, let me just explain that statement. You see, if I give up on my trials, if I turn the opposite way when I face trials or when I face hardship to where God is wanting me to be, if I don't keep digging the well, keep searching to get the living water in my life, what happens is I don't see the blessing that God, the full blessing of what God has for me and my life. You see, some of us today, we've not fully walked with God. We may be walking away from God, but God is calling you home today. God is calling you home. I said to Andy when we built this building, and Pastor Andy was the youth pastor when he started in ministry. He started as the youth pastor, and one of the words that I said gave Pastor Andy was that the prodigal sons and daughters will come home. The prodigal sons and daughters will come home, and you see, there are prodigals in your life. Yes, there are prodigals in your life that you are praying for. Maybe this morning you are a prodigal, but God says you are welcome. This is home. Welcome home. Come on. You see, my second point is this. It's in our digging that we find God's grace. Isaac had to dig to reopen which God had blessed his father previously. Yes? Let me say that again. Isaac had to dig to reopen that which God had blessed his father previously. You see, what happens quite often is when we face trials, we give up. And I've said that. But we've got to keep digging. We've got to keep digging the wells, because it's in our digging. It's in our digging. You can tell I don't do a lot of digging. It's all right. I'll be having a full detailed instruction off my father-in-law how I should dig later. We're having training, don't worry. It's in our digging. You've got to have a laugh. It's in our digging that we find God's grace. See, God's grace is abundant. And his word says this. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me." You see, if I'm going to dig, I want to dig more into God's word. Yes? God's word. It's the living water. If I want to get to the well, if I want to get to the living water, I've got to dig into God's word. And there I find some more grace. If I want to find God's grace, I need to surround myself with those who will speak life into my situation. Those who will speak not just kind words. You know, sometimes we can have people just speak nice words and say it's going to be all right. But no, here's the thing. God wants to speak life into you, not just kind words. He wants to speak life into you. Words that will change the situation that you're in into hope. You see, if I'm going to keep digging, I want to find God's refreshing in my life by the power of his Holy Spirit. You see, when I understand those words from 2 Corinthians, this is what happens. Whatever the devil throws at me, yes? Whatever the devil throws at me, whatever trial I have, I'm going to keep digging, because God's grace is sufficient. Yes? And his power is perfect. Come on, church. Yeah. Let's say it together. God's grace is sufficient. And his power is perfect. You see, if we don't leave this place knowing those words over our lives, when we're digging that well, when we're trying to draw from the well, we're not going to get fully what God is after here. And what God wants from you is this: to understand that his grace is sufficient for you and his power is made perfect. Because then you can boast. You see, you can boast more gladly about your situation. It doesn't matter what you're going through, because God's power is all over my situation. God's hand is all over my situation. God's grace is all over my situation. Come on, church, we've got... Oh. Faith has to rise. Faith has to rise. I believe... I've said this at the beginning of this message. I believe that in this church, sat here today, there are wells of living water. But the only way you're going to unearth those wells of living water is if you draw into his word, if you start digging deeper into his word, if you receive from the power of the Holy Spirit his power over your life, when you draw yourself around his people, when you come and drink from the well of his church, and what God is doing in his church. My last point is this. It's time to flourish. Yeah? It's time to flourish. Verse 22 says, he moved from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given room, and we will flourish in this land. You remember what I said? The first well was called Esek, meaning dispute. The second well, Sitna, meaning opposition. You see, because church, listen to this, sometimes to get to the place where you can flourish, you have to go through dispute and opposition to flourish in all that God has for your life. Amen? Come on, let's give God a round of applause. You see, you may be facing dispute. You may be facing opposition today. But praise God. Praise be to God, because what that means is God is drawing you to a place of flourish. And it's time for you to flourish. I want to tell you, you know, you will hear more things come out tonight from Pastor Andy at our Building Vision Night. But to get to this place today where you are sat in this building, we had to face dispute. We had to face opposition many, many times. And if we didn't keep digging, if we didn't keep digging through the trials, if we didn't keep digging through the disputes and opposition, then we wouldn't have got to the place where it's time for us to flourish. You see, I prophesy over this church, that it is time to flourish. That this is the place that the Lord has brought us to, where we are going to flourish. It's not the end game. Let me tell you, it is not the end game. This building is not the end game, church. Okay? It may be a bit of a shock because we've only just moved in, so forgive me. But it's not the end game, because God wants to see us flourish in this land for his kingdom. It's not about the building, but it's about his people growing. It's about his people flourishing. It's about his people pouring out into this community. And you know, our vision is much bigger than a building. Our vision is about God's kingdom. Our vision is about seeing God flood out into his community. Oh. I'm getting excited. But I want to just, let me just bring it home for us, guys. In your life, you may be facing those trials, but God is all over your life right now. and God is all over your life. When I met my wife, Rebecca, she's at university today, so can't be with us, just in case you're wondering why she's not here. She's studying to be a counsellor, and she goes to university once a month. But when I met my wife, I asked her out, and she said no. So I asked her out again, and she said no again. So I tried asking her out again, and she said no again. It's getting worse, don't worry. It does get better, sorry. But here's the thing. I asked her out again, and she said yes. And that was the start of a great relationship, which led into marriage. You see, in our trials, I could have given up. I could have given up, guys. At the first no, I could have given up. But I knew she was going to be my wife. And the thing is I told her that on the first date. So that's... You're learning a lot about me this morning. If you're prophetic, you're prophetic. Was I right? Okay. But listen, at the first time, I could have given up. The first hurdle. At the second hurdle, I could have given up. At the third hurdle, I could have given up. But it was through the persistence of knowing that this was the will of God over our lives that I kept asking. And you can ask Rebecca this question. She, all along, when she was saying no, she knew that it was the right thing, but she was afraid because she'd never been in a relationship and she was young. But God's hand was over that situation, yeah? And just as God's hand was over our lives, I wanted to share that story with you this morning, because whatever trial you're facing, whatever no's you are hitting, whatever battles it seems are coming against you, when the will of God is in the situation, you know that God is with you. Yes? And it's through your persistence that you will see the flourish of God. You see, let me say this again. You have to face the disputes and the oppositions if you want to find the room in abundance. God's lavished his love on you guys this morning. And I just feel that there are some people here today that need to hear those words, that in the trials that you face, God is bringing you hope. You see, when you see what could be in front of you, when you have hope of what could be, you can keep going. And I want to tell you this morning that God is here to give you hope, that what lies before you, yeah, he's given you hope. He has given you hope this morning. The trials you faced, the battles that you faced over the last few years, they've all come to this moment in time. See, God hasn't brought you to this place for no reason, but he's brought you to this place because he wants you to hear this word today. He wants you to hear from him today. God wants to pour out his grace over your life. His grace is there for abundance. It's free. The only thing we have to do is keep digging. And when I use that analogy, keep digging, I mean, let's draw near to him. We've got to keep pushing closer to him, because the devil doesn't want you to be victorious. The devil doesn't want you to be victorious. I preached last week from the story of David. And it talks about at the beginning of the verses where David is in the cave, it talks about that Saul sends his best men against David. You see, the devil will always send his best against you. But today, this is the good news, that our God sends his best in front of you, which is 10 times bigger than anything that the devil can throw at you. Yes, it's 10 times bigger than anything that the devil will throw at you. And this morning, we're going to draw from the wells. This morning, we're going to draw from the living water. We're going to unearth some things. When John came into church, he saw me with a spade. And I said this morning, we're going to bury some things, but we're going to unearth some things as well. Because this morning, God wants to bury your disappointment. He wants to bury the things that are coming against you. And he wants to unearth the life that is there for you. There is power in the name of Jesus. Church, please stand. I'm going to pray and we're going to close. If I can just ask you to just close your eyes for a second. There is power in the name of Jesus. We sang those words earlier today. There is power in the name of Jesus. If you need to experience something of God this morning, I just want to ask you right now, just stretch out your arms to God. Let's believe that God is going to move in this place this morning. Come on, church. Don't be afraid. Nobody's looking. Let's believe God is going to do something in this place. See, Jesus, we just pray in your mighty name that for every situation in this house, every trial that is being faced, Lord God, that hope will rise, that people will know something of your grace and your power, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that people will pick up their spiritual spades and that they will dig down to the well where the living hope is there, where the living water is there for your goodness. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your power will flood into every situation that is in the life of this church. Because Lord Jesus, we declare over this church that there is power in the name of Jesus. That there is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, say it together. There is power in the name of Jesus. Over my situation, there is power in the name of Jesus. Over what battles I face, there is power in the name of Jesus. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Good. We're gonna keep standing, and then we're gonna pray. If you need to sit down, then sit down. And wow, what a message we've heard this morning, eh? God wants you to flourish. It's time to flourish, and I believe that's a prophetic word this morning that we've heard from the heart of God. And we're going to close in prayer. But before we do, you know, I feel a word is that what you've dug in private, God will expose it in public in a positive way. And we're talking tonight about the building, and that this corner of the car park was the hardest bit in the building. So every time I see it, I have a smile. Yeah, my body's still broken from it. I'm on antibiotics, but because it was, we got the hammer, and then that wasn't good enough, and then we had the, you know, and John Camaro turned up and bossed it with me, and I feel a word for some people. If you've been faithful, and you've done some hard yards in your life. And I feel God wants to say it's now where God's going to honor it all. And God really wants you to expect bigger things for your life, that God's going to turn up in such a way that it's time for his manifestation of his blessing upon your life. I just want to confirm the word that was brought this morning. And then the last thing we're going to pray is there's a place in Samaria in the Bible, and Jesus was going on a journey, and Jesus, where he was going, he didn't have to go through Samaria. But the Bible says that he went to Samaria, and it was midday, and he sat at the well, because wells are significant places. And it was midday, and a lady was drawing water. The interesting thing about the story, nobody in that time draws water at midday in the full sun. They go in the morning. And the reason why this woman was there in midday and not in the morning, because her life was a mess. And she didn't know where she was or what she was doing, and she had loads of relationship problems. Her life was just crazy. And Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria, but he went through Samaria and he sat at the well, knowing that she would be there at that specific time, because God wanted to transform her life. And I want to say this morning, if you're sat here or stood here right now and your life's a bit crazy, and you're saying, Andy, I've got loads of issues in my life, I just want to say, you're very welcome to be here. Yeah? You're very welcome to be here. And right now, I believe over your life, God is just going to come and sit. He just wants to speak to you. And you know, God had a few conversations with this lady, and it just transformed her life. And she was covered in shame in the well. And God has the power to deal with our shame and to forgive and to restore and to bless. And I want to say this morning, you may have had times in your life where you've felt ashamed, where you felt in fear, where you've made mistakes, where you sit in brokenness. But I want to say this morning, we follow a God that can sit with us, and he doesn't condemn us, and he doesn't judge us, and he wants to bless, heal, and restore. And God says, Jesus said, just sit here a while. And you know, sometimes sitting in a well, you have to be persistent and you have to get there. But I really believe a word for some people is, I hope you don't think that we've all got life nailed and you're the only person here whose life's a bit crazy. I've had seasons in my life where life is a bit crazy. But what gets us through it is that when we can sit here and we can hear God, meet with God. And you know, some people say, come out and say, I'm not in this church sometimes. Well, I've not really been to church before, but I just feel so much better because you've just been drinking from a well. And God wants to say, the more you drink from the well, the more restoration, blessing, and forgiveness. And I just feel, as we finish, God wants to say, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Whatever you've done, if you say, God, I'm sorry, because the Bible says, therefore, there is no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we're a church that we do not judge and we do not condemn. Our job is to love and to guide. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I just pray that it is time to flourish. Lord, I pray that faith will arise, and we're looking forward to those moments where we stand back and go, wow, at what you are doing, and wow, at what you're going to do. Lord, I just pray for those people who've been sat like that woman in Samaria at the well. Lord, I pray they'll leave this place different in the name of Jesus. That no matter what's there going off in their life, they've got hope because the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, is walking with them and sitting with them. Lord, we pray that in all of our lives, Lord, that wells will come to life. Lord, I pray for those of us who have kept digging, water will start to flow in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray over this congregation, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. And the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, saith the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give God a big round of applause this morning.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.